With AEW Dynasty this Sunday, this was the final Dynamite before the pay-per-view. Final hard sell for that show, and the final sight that we had at the end of Dynamite tonight was Swerve Strickland with glass embedded in his back, looking over at Jon Moxley and the Death Riders, as if to tell them that it's going to take a lot more than that to put me down. And if we have seen Swerve Strickland in these types of matches before with Hangman Page, we know he could take a lot more than that. But he was the last man standing as we went off the air. And what does that mean for his chances against Jon Moxley on Sunday? Because Dynasty is nearly upon us now. And we have another opportunity here to get the AEW World Championship off of Jon Moxley and away from the Death Riders. And they didn't do it with Adam Copeland, which, honestly, I'm fine with that. We don't need Adam Copeland as the AEW World Champion. They had Christian with his contract, and that was wasted. And finally, this Sunday is almost upon us. Tony Khan has the opportunity to do the right thing and to get that championship away from Jon Moxley and back on to Swerve Strickland 1 year after he won the title at the first Dynasty against Samoa Joe last year. I honestly, watching the end of this show tonight, was far more interested in it was relatively brief. We had a confrontation in the back involving Swerve and Hangman Page. That I found to be the most interesting thing on the entire show. On this entire 2 hour plus show, it was an interaction that maybe went 30 seconds. And I find that to be the most intriguing thing that happened, especially when you consider how it could play into the main event on the pay-per-view on Sunday, which I absolutely think it will. But we also on the show had Cope Hogan in the main event, beating Claudio Castagnoli. We had the announcements of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament brackets on both the men's side and the women's side. Now we know when the tournaments will be kicking off. They will actually begin this Sunday at Dynasty. And then progress from there until we have the finals taking place next month at Double or Nothing. So the last couple of years, they've had the finals of the Owen in Calgary at the Saddle Dome. They're not doing that again this year. They're saving the finals for Double or Nothing. And I'm gonna show you the brackets. I'm going to get into, you know, who's in the tournament and, you know, who I think the early favorites are to win. We'll go through all the different, possibilities there and the matchups. And some news as well. Some breaking news tonight on a legitimate injury that has taken somebody out of the men's Owen Hart tournament. But I will tell you this, you know, outside of the Swerve stuff, you know, they opened the show with a match involving Swerve and Mox. They close with an angle involving Swerve and Mox. Never a bad idea to have a show-long storyline. Outside of the Swerve stuff at the very end, and in particular, that little interaction with Hangman Page. If you judge this show on its own, it was a decent show. If you judge this show as the final Dynamite and the final sales pitch for the Dynasty show coming up on Sunday, I thought it was very weak. I really don't see how you are any more or less excited than you already were for Dynasty coming into this show. I certainly am not. Now, I was looking forward to the show on Sunday. I am not looking any more or less forward to it now than I was 2 hours ago or 2.5 hours ago. So as a go-home show, I actually thought it was pretty weak. On its own merits, it was decent, but that's really the best I can say about it. This is your AEW Dynamite review. It is the first review here for the month of April. It is April 2nd, 2025. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you guys for hanging out with me here on yet another Wednesday night. They came on the air tonight. I mentioned some breaking news from earlier. They came on the air tonight letting us know that Switchblade Jay White, who had already declared on television that he was going to be in the Owen Hart tournament, was out of the Owen Hart tournament. And they had to reset the brackets and change things up a little bit. But they told us the reason for this was they credited it to an off-air or off-camera attack by the Death Riders. They didn't show us anything. So there was no footage of him, even not necessarily an attack, but like him being put on a gurney or something. Like there was nothing, which makes me think, because he just wrestled on Collision this weekend and looked fine. And he even got on the mic post-match and put his opponent over. So whatever it was, that tells me that it was diagnosed after the fact and they realized, oh shit, okay, it's pretty serious. And they just didn't have him, you know, available to do anything where they can shoot footage because they showed us nothing. So they attributed it to John Moxley and the Death Riders. He is officially out of the tournament. And according to Fightful, the update is that he did suffer a legitimate injury. They did not say what the injury is. They did not say how serious it is, but it's serious enough that he has to undergo surgery. And that fucking sucks. Because this is not the first time that he has been dealt an injury blow here during his time in AEW. Actually, it was, I think, during the Owen last year. And then he was out for 3 months. I think that might have been a foot injury. The fact that he needs surgery, that's not a good sign. So we don't know how long he's going to be out for, but he's going to be out for at least, I would guess, at least a few months if it is something where he has to go under the knife. So, you know, the best to him, there's never any good time to get hurt, but it just seems like whenever he is in a position where he's going to be involved in something or he starts building a little bit of momentum, it just gets derailed. And it sucks, but that's the update on Jay White. Now, they open the show with Jon Moxley, the AEW World Champion, teaming up with Marina Shafir in a tornado tag team match against the number one contender for the AEW World title, Swerve Strickland, and his partner, Willow Nightingale. The two baby faces, they wasted no time. They bolted to the ring, started the brawl. It's tornado rules, so it's just mass chaos. Shafir dropped Willow with a snap suplex on the floor, and she's helping Moxley now set up a table outside. And it is not lost on me that we are not even 5 minutes, or barely 5 minutes, into this show, and already Moxley is pulling plunder out from underneath the ring. Why am I not surprised by this? So the bell sounds, match now is officially underway, and Shafir hits multiple judo throws in the ring. Moxley and Shafir, they gain control. They isolated Willow. Moxley set up, he was attempting to set up for a Death Rider to Nightingale, but Swerve came back into the ring. He threatened to hit big pressure on Marina Shafir. So he had Marina Shafir up. Moxley looks over, and he's, again, got Willow in position for the Death Rider. It's like, well, you beat my girl up, I'll beat your girl up. Very nice. And so they both toss the women aside. Willow then shoved Moxley into Swerve, and they both spilled out of the ring, and the women ended up on the apron, and this right here, this was not good. This was not good. So the idea is that Shafir was going to scoop up Willow. Willow, like, went to go throw a kick, and the idea was that Marina Shafir would scoop her up into a powerbomb position and plant her through a table that was on the floor, right out in front of the announcers. Tries to get her up the first time, can't get, you know, good positioning for it. Tries again, can't get good positioning for it. She kind of, sort of scoops her up in the powerbomb position, but not really. And just, she just can't support her, and she just lets her go. And so Willow goes flying off the apron, and mostly with the back of her head, crashes through a table. So it was a very ugly bump. It was very scary there. Thankfully, I mean, she seemed to be okay, but this was not good. Now, later on, there was a Tower of Doom spot that saw Willow pull everybody down from the second rope. Then she splashed Moxley and Marina Shafir in the corner. Moxley grabbed a hold of her, but Swerve ran in to deliver a kick. Swerve then tossed Moxley out to the floor and followed that up with a springboard splash. Willow delivered a spinebuster to Marina and covered her for a near fall. Moxley and Swerve, now they get back into the ring. Swerve attempts a slam. Moxley reverses it, and he pulls him into a rear naked choke. Now, Marina Shafir, in the corner, has Willow Nightingale. And at first, I don't really know exactly what she's attempting to do here. And, she's up on the ropes, and she's kind of got Willow, and I'm like, is she trying to, like, lock on a triangle choke? I think that's what she was going for in the ropes. This didn't look good, but Willow got her, maneuvered her into a powerbomb position, and powerbombed her into Moxley to break the hold. So Swerve recovered. He delivered a flatliner to Moxley. He lined up for a house call kick. Marina, though, pushed Moxley out of the way, and she took the bullet for him. So Swerve accidentally kicks her. And then there was a spot here where Willow shoved Moxley off the apron through a table that had been set up on the other side of the ring outside. The cameras missed this completely. I don't even recall them showing a replay. I think they just completely missed it. So that was kind of fucked up. But they showed Moxley, and there he was. He had crashed through the table, even though we didn't see it. And Willow then dropped Marina Shafir with a doctor bomb to win it for the babyfaces. When the match was over, babyfaces are celebrating. Moxley sneaks back into the ring. He lays out Willow with a paradigm shift. Death Rider, paradigm shift, call it whatever you want. He puts her down and drives her headfirst down into the mat. And he leaves the ring before Swerve can get his hands on him. Moxley helps Marina Shafir up. They leave through the crowd, and the doctors go and tend to Willow. I believe this was the first time that we have had a mixed Tornado tag team match, at least in AEW, with Tornado rules specifically. I don't recall seeing one before anywhere, but certainly in this company, I think this was a first. You know, look, it had its moments. I thought Marina Shafir did not look good in this match. I don't know. I mean, I looked. She's had two matches, not including tonight. She's had two matches this year, neither of which have been in AEW. So she's not really working a lot. And so maybe, you know, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. She's not having a lot of matches. Whatever it was, this was very rough. And that powerbomb spot off the apron was very scary. But the babyfaces pick up the win, and Moxley gets his heat back at the end. So if you're watching this match and you see that Swerve and Willow have won, you may be thinking, oh shit, right? Not good for Swerve on Sunday. Then Moxley comes right back, gets his heat back, and puts down Willow, gets the last laugh, runs off into the crowd. And so when this segment was over, I really didn't feel like this swayed my opinion one way or the other as far as what's going to happen on Sunday. You know, because both sides kind of had a chance to shine in that regard. And it was kind of a draw, you know, when the segment was over. I still think there's a very distinct possibility Moxley may well win, even though I'm picking Swerve, you know, to win the match on Sunday. But this didn't really sway my mind one way or the other. If anything, I actually think it made it more likely that Swerve would win. Just because, you know, for the simple fact that now, coming out of what we just saw here, he has even more of an incentive to win this match on Sunday. He's now the babyface going after Jon Moxley, not just for the AEW World Championship. He's going after him for revenge for what he did to his friend, for what he did to Willow here in this match. So now he's got two things to fight for instead of just one. So again, I didn't think it swayed me one way or the other necessarily, but if it did, I think, for me anyway, it made it more likely that Swerve would win on Sunday and not Moxley. Renee was in the back with FTR and referee Paul Turner. Now on Collision, if you missed it, and you may have, so let me fill you in. Dax Harwood lost to Wheeler Yuta. And he lost clean to Wheeler Yuta, which is even worse. And he threw a fit. He had a meltdown. Security had to intervene. He put his hands on referee Paul Turner. And so his partner comes in. He doesn't realize that Cash Wheeler is there. He just assumes it's security and he shoves him down. So there's been a lot of friction lately involving the members of FTR. So we were told here that for putting his hands on Paul Turner, he was fined $10,000. And Dax says, you know, he hasn't paid the fine yet. He has something in his hand. He said he hasn't paid the fine yet because he wanted to do this in person. And he wanted to physically hand the check to Paul Turner himself. So here you go. Here's a check for $10,000. He apologizes to him, tells Turner, hey, buy your wife something nice, go get dinner, what have you. Wheeler, meanwhile, you know, Cash Wheeler, not Wheeler Yuta. Too many Wheelers here. He can't even look at his partner. You know, he's looking off to the side, and he does not look happy about any of this at all. And he apologizes, Dax does, for what he did in the heat of the moment. That's really all it was. You know, this guy's my brother. We've been partners for 11 years. I didn't know it was you. I thought it was security. So, again, I apologize. And I'm looking forward, you know, come Dynasty, we're going to add to our histories the greatest tag team of all time. And Harwood went to go hug Wheeler, and Wheeler put his arm out and said, no, 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 no. And Wheeler said, look, we're going to be fine after Sunday. You know, and on Sunday, we're going to win the Trios titles. But after Sunday, we need to talk. And he walked off. And that left FTR Bald to stand there, and he was stunned by what just happened. And he apologized to Renee, and that was the end of the segment. As the world turns in the world of FTR, as we are building to a potential turn here. But with who? I love this notion that people think FTR is going to break up. You do realize that if FTR were to break up, like, they're both dead in the water. There is nothing to be gained by breaking these two men up. Like, it is the worst possible thing that they could do. So we're not looking at an FTR breakup. We're looking at an FTR turn. Or potentially at the end of all this, maybe not even on Sunday, we could be looking at an Adam Copeland turn, which frankly, I'm more interested in. Because Adam Copeland of late as a babyface is fucking boring. But no, they're not going to split up FTR because that would be incredibly stupid. Now let's talk about what happened coming out of the break. Because coming out of the break, they revealed the men's bracket for the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, which they said will be kicking off this Sunday at Dynasty. So that's new. We didn't know that was going to be the case, but here is the bracket on your screen now. You see it there. And in the opening round, Will Ospreay will be wrestling Kevin Knight. And they said Kevin Knight is the replacement for Jay White. Now, Kevin Knight just debuted on Collision as a full-time member of the AEW roster. And he debuted against Jay White. And so he lost, but then when the match was over, Jay White really put him over strong, you know, on the microphone, and he got a great, you know, reception from the crowd. And so now here he is taking Jay White's spot. Now, for those who don't know, Kevin Knight, very talented performer. You may have seen his work in New Japan. He's, you know, been on the independent scene. He's made appearances before in AEW, that maybe once or twice, maybe Ring of Honor. So he's been around a few different places. He actually had a tryout, an invite for a WWE Performance Center tryout several weeks ago. I don't know if he ever went for the tryout or not, but he has opted to sign clearly with AEW. So even WWE wanted to get their hands on him, but he made the choice to come here. So he's in the tournament. He's wrestling Will Ospreay. And on that side of the bracket, we have Brody King against Konosuke Takeshita. On the other side, we have Mark Briscoe against Kyle Fletcher, which I feel like is a match that we've seen a whole bunch of times recently. And Hangman Adam Page against the wild card. Because they usually have a wild card in these things. I look at this bracket, you know, Bobby Lashley or Shelton Benjamin in this would have been cool. Yeah, but they're doing the tag team thing right now. They're tag team champions. Powerhouse Hobbs, you know, would have been a good addition. He would have gotten bounced. I mean, you look at this bracket. He would have gotten bounced out of the opening round. So obviously they didn't want to do that. Who the wild card is going to be? I look at the wild card, and given who the wild card is wrestling, MJF makes sense. Why would MJF not be in this? I said the same thing last year. Everybody's declaring, and they made it clear, you know, last year. I don't know if they've actually have said this flat out this year, but certainly last year, you know, the winner of this tournament was guaranteed a championship match at All In at Wembley Stadium. So you assume it'll be the same thing this year, that the winner gets a shot at All in Arlington, Texas, although I don't think they've necessarily said that yet. And I'm like, why would MJF not want to be in there? All these other people are declaring and they want to be in there, and it's the same thing this year. Like, why wouldn't MJF want to be in this? It's one of those things that just drives me nuts, because you have people declaring. There were no qualifying matches so much as you just had people coming out and saying, I want to be in it. Like, Kevin Knight is brand new to the fucking company. You know, he didn't qualify to be in this tournament. So why would MJF, who has told us that he wants his Triple B back, not want to be in this? It's just, it's ridiculous. So I would assume that the wild card would end up being him. The only thing is, if we get Hangman and MJF in the opening round, I mean, I'm just looking at this. Kyle Fletcher probably advances. I mean, you're not going to do Kyle Fletcher and MJF. Is MJF going to lose again? I was surprised he lost the first time to Hangman at Revolution. I'm looking at this going, if this ends up being MJF, boy, it would have made a lot more sense for him to win that first match and have Hangman win this one. But maybe he's not the wild card. I don't know. He's got his own little sort of side quest going on right now involving the Hurt Syndicate. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. But I look at this bracket. It's Ospreay against either Hangman or the wild card in the final. I see no value in sending Kyle Fletcher to the finals just to lose to Ospreay again. And it's Ospreay's tournament to lose. Looking at this, I mean, could Hangman pull it out? Sure, but I think we're looking at a Will Ospreay win. Now, we also got the bracket for the women's Owen Hart Foundation Cup tournament. And this is what it looks like on this side. Jamie Hayter, one-on-one with Billy Starks. Thunder Rosa takes on Chris Statlander. Julia Hart against Mercedes Moné. Harley Cameron against Athena. So you'll notice that Mercedes and Athena are on the same side of the bracket. Now, I think what we're looking at here, you got Mercedes, you've got Athena, both moving on. Could there be an upset? Sure. Is Harley Cameron going to upset Athena? I think that would be pretty dumb. I guess you can't rule out Mercedes doing something that distracts her, but boy, that would just be fucking stupid. So you have to assume Mercedes and Athena are going to move on. Now, I was figuring that they would have a draw in this tournament, but that would make the semifinal match on the opposite side of the bracket effectively the final round. And I don't know that I see that happening, especially since they're playing these matches out on TV with the finals at Double or Nothing, which is still a ways off. But then again, you know, it's not like they can do that. Yeah, you could have Mercedes and Athena move on to the semifinals. They effectively eliminate each other if they have a time limit draw. On the other side of the bracket, Jamie beats Billy. Statlander beats Thunder Rosa. We end up with Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander in what is effectively the final of the Owen Hart tournament. Right? It's certainly a possibility. I've got Jamie Hayter to win the entire thing. I think Jamie Hayter wins it all. I don't think it's Mercedes. I don't think it's Athena. I think Jamie wins. She goes to All In Texas and challenges Toni Storm for the AEW Women's World Championship. So that is my early prediction as far as that. But I mean, look, you know, especially on the women's side, the women's bracket looks stronger to me than the men's bracket. I thought they did a good job this year, certainly more than past years, putting more, you know, bigger names and known entities into these tournaments. You still have a Kevin Knight in there who literally just debuted. You got Kevin Knight, you got Mark Briscoe. I mean, again, it's just, I know why they're in there. They're in there to fucking lose, but still, it just doesn't make sense that you don't have an MJF and people at that level who don't want the same opportunities that Hangman and Jay White and Will Ospreay for weeks. Have been saying that they want. They go out there and they say, I'm declaring for this, and then I'm going to Texas. And they look up at the banner, you know, that hangs there every single week. So they're basically doing the same thing this year they've done before, but they want people like the Continental Classic, get the fucking Beast Mortos, you know, who goes 0-9. Mark Briscoe's lucky to get one or two wins, but that's why they're in there. They're there to take the loss. Speaking of timeless Toni Storm, we had her in action, non-title, of course, against Penelope Ford. Toni wasted no time attacking immediately with a backbreaker, fisherman suplex for a near fall. She missed the hip attack, which allowed Penelope to hit a shotgun dropkick and the double knees on the apron. They come back from break, and Penelope is trying to lick Toni Storm. This is something that she's been doing now for a while on TV. Penelope Ford likes to lick people. She likes to lick her opponents. Only this time it backfired on her. And Toni Storm, she bit her tongue. So she's biting Penelope's tongue. And Tony Schiavone said that, you know, he's never seen something like that before. This surprised Taz because he pointed out that Shivani's been doing this since 1932. So Tony hit Sweet Cheek Music and spiked Penelope with a DDT for a near fall. Towards the end of this, it looked like they were not on the same page. When Ford tried her, she has that matrix stunner that she does. And it's like before she went for it, they just sort of stumbled around and they were just sort of looking at each other for a few seconds. And you can almost see Toni Storm telling her, like, you know, do the spot. And then they did the spot. So I don't know what happened there, but Storm avoided it, hit Storm Zero, and picked up the win. And when the match was over, Megan Bain, her challenger on Sunday at Dynasty, she walked out. She gave her a polite little golf clap, and champion and challenger stared each other down. Not a whole lot to this. I mean, we've seen them. And I'll put them over again for this. Whatever they end up doing on Sunday, I do commend them for the job they've done of building up Megan Bain. Maybe in the end it'll all be for naught, but what they have done with her up until this point is they have established a credible threat for Tony and the AEW Women's World title. Tonight, they didn't do anything as far as the two of them. It was very basic bullshit. Nothing to it at all. Didn't do anything to get me any more excited for the match. But what else can they do at this point? Yeah, we've seen them the pull apart, and we've seen Megan Bain go over on her and pin her in the tag team match last week. They've done all they can do. As far as the match, it got a little awkward there at the end, but otherwise, I thought the match was fine, and it was a rebound win for Tony because, as I mentioned, the champion got pinned last week by Megan Bain in the tag team main event. So this was a rebound win for her, and now we have the championship match on Sunday, and we'll see, you know, are they going to go all the way with Megan Bain? I don't think so, because I think Tony is going into Texas with that title. And probably defending against Jamie Hayter would be my guess. That'd be my preference. But that's my guess about how this whole thing ends. We go to the back. Renee is backstage. And Renee caught up with Swerve Strickland for an update on Willow Nightingale's medical condition. You could see she was being worked on by a trainer in the background. She was face down on a table. Swerve said that she's strong and she's brave. That's why he didn't mind facing off against the Death Riders with her tonight. But he goes, John, knowing the history of neck injuries that Willow has, still goes out there and does what he does tonight. Says, I'm on the hunt. But he goes, we're not waiting until Dynasty in Philadelphia on Sunday. By the end of the night tonight, he had promised us. And when the babyface promises something, he's got to deliver. He promised us that he was going to get his hands on Jon Moxley. So, see, this I liked. I liked the fact that they opened with a match involving those two. Whatever you thought of the match. They opened with a match involving those two. They did the angle where he took out Willow Nightingale. Now, they have a backstage segment. Swerve, the number one contender. He's not happy. He makes it clear, we're not done yet. And before this show is over, you need to tune in and watch what I do to this guy, because I'm going to get my hands on this motherfucker. Right? Show-long storyline. They have a thread, threading it throughout the entire show. Whether or not it's going to grab people and keep them watching until the very end, that's a different story. But I did like that they made it very clear here that we were not done yet with Swerve and Mox. Now we had MVP and Bobby Lashley. They made their way out to the ring, and we were told that severe weather caused Shelton Benjamin not to be able to make it to the show, so he wasn't there tonight. Before Lashley could even get a word out, MJF's music interrupts. He makes his way down to the ring. There was a sign in the crowd as he was walking down the aisle that said, sign my sign. And so MJF, he took the marker and made like he was going to sign it, and then he just threw it away and kept walking. And this fan, he looked shook. The expression on his face was priceless. This was not like a little kid, either, like a small child. But they were shell-shocked as MJF walked off. What were they expecting him to do? I mean, really. MJF compliments how good MVP looks before telling Bob how much he disrespected him last week. And MJF formally introduced himself and said that he loves the big guy, Shelton Benjamin. Wishing him well and to stay safe, he'll see him down the road. MJF said that Lashley has done a lot in his career, but this is AEW and he's standing on the block that MJF built. MJF said that he could help Lashley and Benjamin hold on to those tag team titles as long as they please. They said, look, cards on the table. He has to admit, he knows that they could help him regain the AEW World Championship. So, says MJF and the Hurt Business. MJF and the Hurt Syndicate, it's just good business. Says MVP knows it. MJF knows it. Even the mouth breathers in the Midwest know it. And he told the crowd, talk to me when Peoria ever mattered. Because Peoria, it doesn't even exist. People don't even know this place exists. It's not a real place, he says. So Lashley might not want MJF. And then at that point, he put his hand on Bobby's shoulder. He goes, you may not want MJF, but Bobby, you big, beautiful bastard, you need MJF. So Lashley had enough. He goes, look, let's be real clear. Out of respect to MVP, I'm not going to leave you laying right here and now. He wants MJF to know that he doesn't like him, he doesn't trust him, and the Hurt Syndicate damn well doesn't need him. So unless he can prove otherwise, he needs to get out of his face and out of this ring right now. And MJF, he bowed out of the ring gracefully. He goes, unless I can prove it, huh? Okay. And he leaves, and we don't see him again. So what he's going to do to prove that he, you know, belongs with them or that they should do business together, I don't know. Does that mean that he's going to get involved in some way on Sunday? Because there's a tag team title match coming up on Sunday. He just talked about how I can help you guys hold on to those titles as long as you want. I don't know if that was a sign of something that's going to happen at Dynasty. But Big Bill, and by the way, so just focusing on this for a second, I don't know where this is going. You know, I've talked before about when MJF and Hangman were still seemingly feuding with each other, that I figured it could be a way for them to reintroduce the Young Bucks to TV, and they could do a, you know, like a 3-on-3 match with MJF and the Hurt Syndicate against Hangman and the Bucks, and maybe that's a direction they're going in, and then, you know, you kind of split the Young Bucks off and build them up for a tag team title match with the Hurt Syndicate, which I really don't need to see, but you know they're coming back at some point. I don't know where they've been, but they're coming back at some point. Maybe they're saving them for April 16th. Spring Breakthrough, the night that Dynamite passes WCW Monday Nitro as the longest-running wrestling show in primetime on the Turner Networks. They're doing a whole big celebration. Dynamite 289. Maybe they're going to save the Young Bucks' return for that show. I don't know. Beyond that, I have no fucking idea where this story is going. It's a little weird, but Big Bill and Brian Keith's music hit, and they have a face-off with Lashley and MVP in the aisle. And again, like Bill, the way he just towers over Lashley, like Lashley's a big dude, and just looking at him tower over him and making him look like a small child is just, it's never not going to just be insane for me to see that. So Bill places a seat down for Lashley to sit and watch what they're about to do. Because MVP had told these guys, look, you want a shot at the titles, you got to go out and win some matches first. Which they did. They went out and beat Top Flight on Collision on Saturday. Bill wants them to watch what's about to happen here. And so Lashley and MVP, they opted to stand. And what followed didn't take very long. It was basically Bill killing two jobbers is what it was. Brian Keith got a couple of moves in. That was about it. This went about a minute. He launched one of the job guys over the top rope with a gorilla press down right at the feet of Lashley. The other one tried to attack Bill from behind. He got you fucked up chance. And it all ended with Bill hitting a chokeslam for the win. So Bill took the mic and he said, you know, on Collision, we whooped Top Flight's ass. And tonight they whooped, and he didn't know their names because they never bothered to announce the names of these guys. He goes, we whooped their asses. And on Sunday in Philadelphia, we're going to whoop the Hurt Syndicate's ass because they want their match for the AEW tag team titles. And MVP was about to say something and Lashley stopped him. And then the Hurt Syndicate left. And it was not made clear to us at this point that there even was officially a tag team title match on Sunday, but they did let us know later in the show it is official. So it'll be Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, I guess weather permitting, defending the tag team titles against Big Bill and Brian Keith. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Did you know that traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session? That can get real costly real fast. But with BetterHelp Online Therapy, you can save on average up to 50% per session. With BetterHelp, you pay a flat fee for weekly sessions, saving you big on cost and time. Therapy should feel accessible, not like a luxury or something that you have to pay a premium for. With online therapy, you get quality care at a price that makes sense and can help you with everything from anxiety to everyday stress. I say it all the time when I talk about this. If you pay for a gym membership to lift weights or do cardio, you need to look at taking care of your mind as something that's every bit as important. Your mental health is worth it. And now it's within reach. The benefits of therapy are legit, and they can be a game changer for you, whatever may be troubling you. Therapy can teach you things like positive coping skills and how to set boundaries in your life. And it isn't just for people that have experienced trauma in their lives. There's no problem, big or small, that you can't talk about. And oftentimes, just talking about it can start you down the right path to get the answers and solutions that you're looking for. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people all over the world. And it's convenient, too. That's what makes it even more appealing to so many people. You think those 5 million people don't have busy lives like you do? They find a way to make it work. And they don't have to try too hard either, because BetterHelp makes it easier for them with the click of a button. Even better, you can switch therapists at any time if you choose. It's good to have options. Your well-being is worth it. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Renee was backstage with Mercedes Moné, the TBS champion, the New Japan Strong Women's Champion, the Rev Pro British Women's Champion. What other titles does she have? Isn't there a fourth one? Anyway, she's draped in gold. And she's in the back. And Renee is asking her about wrestling a former TBS champion in Julia Hart in the opening round to the Owen Hart tournament. And Mercedes said that Julia is a former TBS champion, but not the greatest TBS champion of all time, and it'll take more than tricks and spells to stop the money train. So Renee brings up that on Collision, it's going to be Athena and Julia, not that Julia, Julia Hart, taking on Mercedes and her tag team partner. And then at that moment, we see Mini Mercedes, the Mercedes puppet, appear on screen. And of course, Harley Cameron is with the puppet. She says she's been contemplating, because she and Mercedes, they brought the house down when they wrestled Down Under. And Cameron has been thinking of a great tag team name for them. But before she could tell us what that tag team name was, Mercedes shut her up and shut the puppet up and just walked off. And then Cameron called them the Money Wrath Train. Whatever. I mean, it's a stupid name. But Excalibur said there's time to workshop that before Collision. All I will say is this. They're doing this tag team match on Collision this Saturday. They're out of their minds if they have Mercedes and Athena touch. If they touch, they're out of their minds. You got to keep them as far apart as possible. You could tease it. You could have Athena tag in, Mercedes tags out. You could do that sort of thing. But there is no need to have these women touch before they meet in that Owen Hart tournament. That would be, I think, ridiculous. We have Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight as tag team partners on this show against Blake Christian and Lee Johnson. Tony Schiavone mentioned that Christian has a 7-match win streak in Ring of Honor, including a win over Kevin Knight. I don't care. Ospreay and Christian, they trade shoulder tackles and kip-ups. Ospreay tags in Kevin Knight, and he hits a leaping splash. Double drop kick sends the heels to the outside. That allows Ospreay and Knight to hit stereo dives. Back inside, Johnson tripped up Knight, giving Christian a chance to hit an enziguri, and then Ospreay got hit with a spear on the apron. That took us into the commercial break. Johnson and Christian, they controlled the entire commercial break. When they came back, though, Knight mounted a comeback. He dove for a hot tag to Ospreay. He ran wild for a bit until a 450 double stomp back inside by Blake Christian. Anyway, Kevin Knight hit a huge springboard lariat to win it for his team. When the match was over, Tony Schiavone, he stood up at the announce desk because he was getting word from, you know, Tony Khan in his ear. And he announced that the match between Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight in the Owen Hart Cup tournament will take place at Dynasty this Sunday. And they put the graphic up on the big screen. Ospreay and Knight shook hands, but Knight pulled him in. Pulled him in a little close. It was a strong debut for Kevin Knight, his Dynamite debut here tonight. And that's what this was designed for. You know, there are people who are not going to be familiar with him. He just debuted for them. Yeah, he just became All Elite and signed a contract, and now he's with them full time. So you want to get people familiar with this guy, especially because, oh, by the way, he's in the fucking Owen Hart tournament, which kicks off in less than a week. So yeah, maybe we should have a little spotlight for this guy, you know, before we put him in the ring on pay-per-view against Will Ospreay. So that was the purpose of what we got here. He looked impressive. So it did what it needed to do. It does feel very sudden, though, to kind of thrust him into this. I don't know what the deal is with Jay White, though. Obviously, he's legitimately hurt, so this was a change that had to be made. And Ospreay's not getting bounced in the first round. You plug Kevin Knight in there. If they go out there and have a 15-20-minute banger and he loses, right, even in defeat, he can come out of it better than he was coming into it. That's the hope. And if anybody can give him a match like that, it's going to be Will Ospreay. You cannot ask for a better opponent in this situation if you're Kevin Knight than Will Ospreay. So this did what it needed to do. We had Brody King against Lance Archer, who is back on his own for the time being because Brian Cage hurt his knee a few weeks ago at an independent show. Otherwise, it would have been the Murder Machines challenging the Hurt Syndicate for the tag team titles this Sunday. Instead, we have the Learning Tree. So Archer's back as a single. So what did they do? They beat the hell out of each other. That's what they did. King charged in late in the match, but he ran into a black hole slam for a near fall for Archer. Big choke slam connects for another two count. Archer then chases referee Paul Turner out of the ring. That brief delay allowed Brody to hit a series of corner strikes, including a cannonball and a lariat for a two count. Archer spun out of a powerbomb attempt, but Brody was there to meet him with another lariat for the win. Look, if you like two big dudes beating the crap out of each other, you got that here. Why did we get it? Because Brody King is in the Owen Hart tournament. He's in the tournament, and he's going to lose to Konosuke Takeshita in the opening round. But they wanted to give him a momentum win here and send him into the Owen with a victory. He's going to lose. It's going to set up a rematch in the semifinals between Takeshita and Ospreay. That was Ospreay's first AEW match as a full-time member of the roster. Once he wrapped up all of his New Japan commitments, remember Revolution last year? He had that great match with Takeshita, match of the year candidate, just fucking great stuff. And so it's going to set that rematch up. It could potentially, it's not going to, but, you know, look, Ospreay and Brody King had a hell of a match. You know, if you go back to the Continental Classic, it was Christmas night. They opened the show that night. They had a hell of a match. And, of course, you know, Brody King, you know, lost there too. But the match in the semifinals of this tournament, it's going to be Ospreay and Takeshita. Here's the problem. And you may have enjoyed this match. I'm not saying this was a bad match or anything like that, but the way I look at it is that it's twofold. Number one, Lance Archer never wins anything, okay? If you handed this guy the winning lottery ticket, he would still fucking lose, okay? He doesn't win anything. And for a guy that looks that big and scary, I mean, he should be one of the more intimidating guys on the roster. Look, I'm sure if you were face to chest with him, You might be intimidated, but the fact is, the way that he is booked and portrayed on television, it just doesn't match. And this is the way it's been now for years and years, because he's been there forever. He's been there for fucking 5 years. He's been there probably since day one, just about. And that's the problem. He doesn't win. He never wins. He comes out, he's all scary, he may talk a big talk, and then nothing happens. And so, you know, you put him in there against Brody King, and it's like, I knew the result before the match even started, before the bell even rang. So how much credibility does it really give somebody like Brody King when he beats somebody who everybody beats? You know, you can call it a credibility boost. It's a momentum win for him, you know? Like, is it really, though? Is it really? I would argue it's not. The other issue then is Brody King himself. The last real name, I had to go back and look it up because I, for the life of me, couldn't remember who it would have been. The last legitimate name that Brody King went in there one-on-one and beat was Darby Allin. And that was back in November. We're going back to like Thanksgiving time. And that was in the Continental Classic. So Brody King is another one. Big guy. Very intimidating. He'll come out with a chain around his neck. He'll bark. He's all tatted up. Very talented. Doesn't win very many matches. One thing Tony Khan is not very good at is booking big men. It is not his strong suit. These guys go out there, and I'm not saying they have to go unbeaten, but they lose far too often. And then you get to a point where, like we are here with Lance Archer, where it's like you just can't take it seriously when he's out there against somebody. Brody King is just about in the same spot, I'm sorry to say. And so had he been built up a little bit better, if you want to put him in these tournaments, you know, it would be better for him if they had enough foresight in the months leading up to it to actually feed him wins, including against some credible challengers. But again, you'd have to go all the way back to November to find that match with Darby and go look up the matches that he's won since then. Nobody of any note. That's the problem here. So you stick this match on the show. What does it really mean? It's two guys who mostly spend their time losing and looking up at the lights. Who cares? Then we go to the main event. With Adam Copeland, one-on-one with Claudio Castagnoli. Claudio jumped Copeland before the bell. They spilled to the floor almost immediately. Copeland got sent hard into the barricade. So he recovered and he threw Claudio into the barricade. Later on, Copeland managed to spear Claudio to the floor through the middle rope. But then he got stopped by a European uppercut when he made a second attempt. That took us into the final commercial break of the night. They come back from the break. Claudio hung Cope up throat first on the top rope. And he heads up top. He gets cut off. Copeland follows him up top, and he comes off with an avalanche bulldog off the top, or that's basically what he was going for. He's lucky he didn't break his fucking leg again, the way his leg ended up underneath his body on the landing, kind of folded underneath him. Copeland wanted the impaler. Claudio sent him into Bryce Remsburg, and that allowed Claudio to get an eye poke and then a giant swing for 10 revolutions. Into a pin attempt, Copeland kicked out. He went for a neutralizer, but Copeland countered out of it into the impaler DDT. He covered, only got a two count. So Copeland wanted a sunset flip from the middle rope. Claudio rolled through into the sharpshooter. Copeland reversed into his grindhouse submission, but Claudio got to the ropes, rolled out to the apron. Copeland followed, but he got planted with a snap power slam right on the edge of the ring. Claudio then launched him over the barricade, just threw him over the barricade into the crowd, rushed back into the ring, grabbed the referee and said, count him out. And the referee began counting. Of course, Copeland, though, was able to break the count back inside. So now they're trading neutralizer and spear attempts, none of which are successful. Claudio tried for a springboard uppercut, only for Cope to hit a big boot. He kind of fell down when he hit the big boot. Copeland charged for the spear. Claudio hit a pop-up uppercut, though, for two. Neutralizer finally connects, but Cope Hogan powers out of it, brother. So big kick out there for Cope. Now Claudio is frustrated. He goes to the outside. He grabs a couple of chairs. He's going to go for the concerto. Bryce Remsburg rips it away, though. That allows Copeland, the babyface, to deliver a low blow to this man. And then hits the spear and picks up the win. You didn't think this was going to go any other way, did you? Come on. So another ominous sign, though, because I don't think that we're getting new Trios champions on Sunday, and this was an ominous sign for Rated FTR, the fact that Copeland got the win here over Claudio. The match itself, look, it was decent. Far too long. I mean, they gave this almost 20 minutes. And I just find a lot of Copeland's matches boring now. Sorry, they're just boring. And it's one of the reasons why I would much prefer, in this story that's ongoing involving him and FTR, if they flip the script and instead of having FTR be the ones to go heel, you have Copeland go heel at the end of all that, whether that happens on Sunday or not, at the end of all this, it's Copeland who ends up going heel. Because to me, if that happens, it makes it a little more palatable how you end up getting Cope and Christian back on the same page. And you get to keep Christian as a heel because he's so fucking good at it. And then you can still build to the same match, right? The destination doesn't change. The destination is FTR against Cope and Christian in Texas at All In. Only in that case, Cope and Christian would be the heels. You may look at it and go, well, you know, people are going to want to cheer them because it's the first time they've been tag team partners in many years. Again, it's likely not going to work out that way, but I just, from my personal preference, I would prefer to see Copeland try his hand at being a heel again. Because this babyface version just fucking sucks. People can sing his song, and I'm not saying the effort isn't there and everything. It's just, it doesn't do anything for me. There's nothing interesting about it. There's nothing exciting about it. It's just, I'm just bored. So at least in this case, it would be something different. Heel Copeland and Christian, that could be something. We'll see if they do that. We weren't done yet, though. And we weren't done because we go to the back, and Renee is trying to get another word with Swerve Strickland about Willow Nightingale and her condition. And Swerve apologizes to Renee and tells her, look, I'm looking for your husband right now. And Renee doesn't look very happy about that. So Swerve begins to walk down the hallway, and all of a sudden, who bursts through the doors off in the background? Hangman Adam Page. And he comes charging in and said that Swerve is wasting his time. Now, security immediately, gets in between the two of them. He says Swerve is wasting his time because he made a promise long time ago that Swerve Strickland would never hold the AEW World Championship ever again. He's not going to let this go. This man is still obsessed. He keeps his promises. Swerve tells him, you got to let it go. Hangman screams that you broke into my house. Swerve screams back at him, you burned my house down. God, I fucking love pro wrestling. Like, it's just so fucking absurd. But I love it. I love it. How can you not love this shit? So Hangman screamed, you deserved it. And then Swerve, and this is the line right here that really caught Hangman off guard, a very revealing moment. He admits that he deserved it. He being Swerve. You're right. I deserved it. And this catches Hangman off guard. He's like, he did a double take. And he can't believe his ears, and he's kind of taking it all in, and then he just storms off. So as Swerve now continues walking, Moxley and the Death Riders, they jump Swerve. Moxley said, you're looking for me, huh? And they threw him through, I think it was a small glass table, but it was like on its side, clearly, so they could throw Swerve into it. And the glass shatters, because you can see the table legs, behind him. So the glass shatters, he's laying in this glass. I don't know what this fucking company's obsession is with glass. It's ridiculous. But he tells the Death Riders, drag him out to the ring. So they drag Swerve all the way back into the arena and down into the ring. Death Riders are holding him for Moxley, who's smacking him around. Wheeler Yuta, there's a little bucket in the ring. And Wheeler Yuta, he grabs this bucket full of what else? Glass. And he empties it right in the middle of the ring. And Claudio drops Swerve with a Ricola bomb onto the glass. Basically, power bombs him onto the glass. So the Death Riders, they left Swerve. And they are exiting through the crowd. Swerve in the ring, though, is slowly sitting up. Like the Undertaker. So he sits up. No blood. I didn't notice any blood. All the glass was stuck to his back. It wasn't like he was too cut up or anything. I'm not saying he wasn't cut up, but it wasn't like a bloodbath or anything. It's just you saw the glass stuck to his back. And they have a shot of Moxley in the crowd. He's got a look on his face like, oh, this guy's back up. Yeah, like he's stunned that this man is back up. And the parting shot that we got here at the end of the show was Swerve Strickland on his feet, maniacally laughing, staring at Jon Moxley as they went off the air. As I said before, we have seen Swerve take far worse in the matches that he had with Hangman Page. This for him is nothing. This is like a normal morning. He probably wakes up in bed in a pile of glass. So for him, this was nothing. I mean, this dude took a syringe to the mouth. It was like me a few months ago. But I liked the Swerve and the Hangman aspect of this more than anything else, honestly. But just to go back to what I said earlier about the opening tag team match, I look at this as kind of a wash. Honestly, it's people are going to come out of the show thinking, oh, this means that Swerve's going to win now. Or, oh, this means that Moxley's going to win now. It doesn't mean shit. It's more or less a wash. The babyfaces won the opening tornado match, and then Moxley turned right around and laid out Willow Nightingale and had the last laugh. And then here in this segment, the Death Riders jump Swerve Strickland. They leave him laying in a pile of glass, and they leave, only for Swerve to then rise to his feet, and he gets the last laugh. We are effectively right back where we were before we even came into this show tonight. But if anything, Swerve now has another mission, which is to get revenge on Moxley for what he did to Willow Nightingale. He has to win the title. He has to get revenge for his friend. And if he fails to do that, he's going to look like a fucking geek on Sunday. He needs to go in there, and now he needs to be the one to take that title away from Jon Moxley. We cannot have another finish like we had a Revolution. We cannot have that. Which is why the Hangman angle intrigues me. That one little piece of that final closing segment I found more interesting than anything else in this entire show. And I think it's going to tie into that main event on Sunday. I think it was there tonight, specifically on this go-home show. I think it was there for a reason. I think it was there for a reason because what we should get, I have to be careful. What we're going to get may not be what we should get. But I think what we get is it sets up a potentially great moment at the end of this main event on Sunday where Hangman Page is going to come out and try to cost Swerve Strickland the championship. Or if Swerve is on the precipice of victory, he comes out to stop him per his promise from ever again winning the AEW world title. But he's going to have this moment based on what Swerve said to him here, where Swerve was the bigger man. And he said, you know what? You're right. I got what I deserved. And he wasn't expecting him to say that. It'll be like this moment of clarity. And then that's when he steps back. I'm not even saying he helps Swerve win the title, but he stands down and doesn't stand in his way like he was planning on doing. And he paves the way for Swerve to go on to win the championship. And the fan, I mean, I think for the fans, they would love it, right? Like, just imagine, like, Swerve is about to, or Hangman's about to do something, and then he just stands down. And he's like, you know what? He's all yours in regards to Moxley. And the place would go nuts, and then he would win the title, and it would be one big celebration. So that's the finish that they need to do. That's the finish I'm hoping to see in that main event on Sunday. But again, outside of that, I thought on the whole it was a decent show. If you look at it just on its own as a go-home show, it wasn't very good because it didn't do a whole hell of a lot to get you really amped up for this pay-per-view, which is always the objective of the final episode going into your big show. Whether it's WWE, whether it's AEW, that is the purpose of the final Dynamite, the final Collision, because they do have one more show left, is to get you excited to see what they have on tap for you on this pay-per-view. That I don't think they did a very good job of tonight. Now, Collision on Saturday has Mercedes and Harley Cameron against Athena and Julia Hart. Cash Wheeler is going to wrestle Pac. Top Flight takes on Action Andretti and Leo Rush. Speedball Mike Bailey takes on Dralístico. And Ricochet will be on commentary for that match. So we got nothing on the show tonight as far as Kenny Omega, Speedball, or Ricochet. I guess they're saving that for a Collision. Dynasty this Sunday. Let me just run through the final updated lineup now for this pay-per-view. Will Ospreay is wrestling Kevin Knight in the opening round of the Owen Hart tournament. Will Ospreay is going to win that match. Mercedes Moné is wrestling Julia Hart. Who do you think is winning that match? Do I even need to say it? We have the Hurt Syndicate against Big Bill and Brian Keith for the tag team titles. That's going to be a Hurt Syndicate win. Let's see if MJF gets involved. Chris Jericho and Bandido. Title versus mask for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Bandido is not losing his mask. This will be a Bandido win. Death Riders against Rated FTR for the Trios titles. Rated FTR not going to win the Trios titles. Daniel Garcia and Adam Cole. No interference. No time limit for the TNT Championship. The TNT title has never felt less than, to me, than it does right now. Got to get that title off Daniel Garcia. I think Adam Cole takes it. Kenny Omega defends the international title against Speedball Mike Bailey and Ricochet. That's going to be a Kenny Omega win. Timeless Toni Storm against Megan Bain for the AEW Women's World Championship. That's going to be a Toni Storm win, I do believe. And in the main event, Jon Moxley defends the AEW World Championship against Swerve Strickland. Please let it be. Brand new AEW World Champion this Sunday. His name is Swerve Strickland. And barring any pre-show matches that they add, and you know they will, that is the card as it currently stands. Now, checking the poll in the chat, we have a live poll here going as we speak. What did you think of Dynasty, or Dynamite before Dynasty, I should say? 57% thumbs up for tonight's show, 43% thumbs down. There you go. You can go and vote in the live YouTube poll. We are currently at 266 likes. So, yeah, be the booker. It's not happening. Yeah, I hope this is not a reflection of the enthusiasm for the pay-per-view on Sunday. That's not a good sign. Let's go back to the beginning. Super chats and start with Death Scythe. Hey, Solo. If he comes back, what do you think of a heel Keith Lee feuding with Swerve Strickland? Because Swerve tried to end his career, and yet Swerve has skyrocketed to the top, and Lee had to watch. I think that story would work, but I don't think we're going to get Keith Lee back. I just think his health really derailed his career, and that needs to be his focus right now. I would love to see him make a comeback and work his way back up, you know, into a top spot. And I think that if he's able to do that, then I would love to see it. But it's just been so long now. I think whatever it is that he's dealing with, that needs to be his focus. And I'm not sure we're going to see him back. Hey, Silver Tower, I'm sorry to hear that. He says he's on sick leave right now. I'm sorry you're not feeling well. I do hope that improves, though. That's not fun. He's got vertigo. The Mount Vernon kid, Christopher Bennett. Can we all appreciate that little development of character would Swerve and Hangman, him taking accountability for his actions with Hangman? I love that. It was the best part of the show. That one little interaction there, and that was the thing that intrigued me the most, more than anything else they did on the show. Excuse me. More than anything else they did on the entire show. It always comes back to Swerve and Hangman. Like, those two, it just... I love watching those two together on TV. I thought it was great. Hey, Cub fan. No message. Just says, $4.99. Actually, he dropped two of them. So one of them does have a message. I was at the show tonight. The venue was a dump. The roof leaked and the AC wasn't working. By the time the main event started, we were sweating to death. Well, damn. Where were they tonight? They were in, were they in Peoria? They were somewhere in Illinois, I think, right? Well, that sucks. Joseph Stewart, rest in peace. Val Kilmer. Yeah, we talked about this the other night. Actually, that news broke during the Monday Night Raw stream. It says, rest in peace, Val Kilmer. Batman Forever will always be one of my favorite Batman movies of all time. He was in one of my favorite movies of all time. Heat, with Pacino and De Niro and a whole bunch of other people, too. We got Roka Thrilla 23. If Swerve loses on Sunday, I am boycotting Dynamite until Moxley loses the belt. Doesn't sound like a bad plan as long as you don't boycott the reviews. You don't have to watch Dynamite. You could just tune into the reviews. I'll keep you posted on what's going on. Joseph says buy or sell Tommy Lee Jones or Two-Face as Two-Face or Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. I'm inclined to go Schwarzenegger just for the laughs. Not that he was great in the role, but just it was funnier to me. The Carpetbagger with the 1999 says, I've been listening for probably 7 years. I'm a full-time content creator, non-wrestling content. I just wanted to say I am super happy for you going full-time and quitting the day job. I remember is there two of them? There might be a second one. No. I don't know. It got cut off there. Hey, Carpetbagger, though. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Very much. I don't know what content you're into, but I hope you're killing it on your channel, whatever you're doing. It's nice to go at your passion. Whatever you enjoy, whatever you're passionate about, if you can parlay that into something, it's the best feeling. Joseph Stewart, who are DDP's top five feuds in WCW? Wasn't much of a feud. He had that great match, though, with Goldberg. DDP and the NWO. DDP and Randy Savage is number one, but DDP and the NWO would be another one. He feuded for a while, didn't he, with Johnny B. Badd? I don't remember that being great, though. So I don't know, you kind of got me hung up on the word feud, because I could think of a bunch of great DDP matches, like matches he had with Sting. The only one I will say, though, I'll name one. It's the Macho Man Randy Savage feud. That's really what put him on the map. Alex with the 25. Sorry, but this is an off-topic rant. Who the fuck wants to pay $450 for an LCD screen in 2025 and $90 for a Mario game? Can't stand these greedy companies. That money has way more value in Solo's pockets. Much love. Hey, I agree. People will get tired of the Switch after a while. But I've got people who have been tuned into me for 10, 15 years, 17 years. It's great. Yeah, I watched that unveiling video this morning as I was having breakfast. The Nintendo Switch. I have to say, though, you know, Mario Kart World looks pretty cool. I just think it's bullshit that it doesn't have any backwards compatibility to the original Switch. Joey Jojo Jr. Do my eyes and ears deceive me? Did Excalibur run down a pay-per-view card at a normal pace? Yeah, I think he's been doing that for a while, though. Thankfully, they stopped with the speed reading, which I didn't find that funny at all. I actually thought it was very stupid. Apparently, they did, too, because he doesn't do it anymore. Joseph, do you think Hangman Adam Page can make the transition in Hollywood like Rock, John Cena, and Batista? No. CNM 3443. Feel the need to share this. I saw New Japan announced Minoru Suzuki will face Butterbean at WrestleCon in Las Vegas. I shit you not. Didn't I see an announcement that, I mean, more importantly than that, Minoru Suzuki is going to be wrestling Yoshihiko. I don't remember. I think that's also WrestleMania weekend. But yes, the return of Yoshihiko the Blow-Up Doll. And Minoru Suzuki is going to be wrestling Yoshihiko. How long before Yoshihiko gets a WWE Hall of Fame induction? Oz and Glorious. Who needs Jay White and Juice Robinson when you've got Daniel Garcia, Daddy Magic, Wheeler Yuta, and Action Andretti on the roster? Only one of them are actually in a match on Sunday, by the way. So I'm being told, so you're telling me the new Mario Kart game is backwards compatible to the first Switch? I was of the impression that it wasn't because they said it was exclusive to the new Switch. That's what the word exclusive means. How is it exclusive to the new Switch if you could play it on the first Switch? Then it's not exclusive. Joseph Stewart, do you think Hangman Page will go down as the greatest babyface and character in AEW history? I don't know. That's a question to ask down the road, but he's certainly one of the greatest babyfaces that they've ever had in that company. I've enjoyed his story arc over time. Yeah, see, that's, so I'm right. Aaron and JP, they're like, Mario, I'm talking about Mario Kart 2. That game is not backwards compatible. That's what I'm talking about. So you're all confusing me now. I would assume that, yes, the Switch 2 might be, but I'm not concerned about that. I'm specifically asking about Mario Kart. Oz and Gloria says, shout out to the carpetbagger in the chat tonight. Yes, indeed. Welcome, welcome. You're always welcome. Joseph says, buy or sell Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn or Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Margot Robbie really is anything. Barbie. Wolf of Wall Street. Duff's Vids. Hope dark jokes are okay, Solo. What does Ted Bundy and an alcoholic have in common? They have a cold one. That's pretty dark. I like a good dark joke as much as anybody, but that's pretty dark. Retro KOH, off topic, but did you see the Switch 2 reveal? Says, shit is anti-consumer as fuck. Hard pass on that. You mean to tell me you're not excited that it has like a 240p camera? And a mouse? It's got a mouse. It's got a mouse. They basically built like Discord into it. It's basically what they did. I'm like having breakfast and I'm in the live chat because the live chat was open and there were 1.3 million people. Like the chat was going so fast, like I couldn't even read what people were saying. It was hilarious. Number one, Homo Sapien. Why did the can crusher quit his job? It was soda pressing. Base Beerus, is Moxley the face of AEW? If not, then who is? At the moment? Because, you know, during different periods, I would have said MJF. I would have said Kenny Omega. No, I don't look at Jon Moxley as the face of AEW. If I had to say the face of AEW, I would go Swerve on that. That's what I would say. Swerve is the one who's out there doing media for them more than anybody else that I see. I would say Swerve. All the more reason to put the title on him this Sunday. Base Beerus is Moxley. Oh, I just answered that. Tuxedo T Servo, thank you for the 12. The Learning Tree. Duff's Vids, what's a cat's favorite TV show? Claw and Order. That's just terrible. That's not even at your usual level. That's like the comedian that comes on before you. That's what they would say. Yo-Yo Sup with the $4.99. Can't believe the GOAT, Julia Hart, is being matched up with Mercedes. A little part of me died. Should be as far away from Hogan as possible. She's wrestling Cope? I didn't know that. Base Beer is LA Knight, Kevin Knight, Christmas Night. It's like Brian Cage, Christian Cage. How many cages are there? Duff's Vids. What does Michael Jackson do on vacation? Ski-hee. My God. It's open mic night. Tracking problems. Do you think Mike Ball Speed Bailey is a future TNT champion? Yes, I do. Mike Ball? Jeremy Rose with the 25. When is someone going to take Renee out? She literally is the wife of the evil villain champion, and all these people just willingly interview with her despite Mox's actions. By the way, why does he never have the belt? Help it make sense. I stopped even trying to figure that out a long time ago. The whole thing is just stupid. This whole angle is stupid. Everything about it is stupid. It fucking sucks. It's dragged everything down. And the sooner it's over, the better. That's it. I mean, it sucks. It's awful. Silver Tower, thank you. Good to hear from you, and I hope you feel better. Yo-Yo Sup. They fumbled with Julia. Get her as far away from this company as possible. Best character work outside of Tony. Got hurt and hasn't been booked the same. Wait until Sky Blue comes back. You'll be saying the same thing about Sky Blue. Justin G, Doc Holliday in Tombstone for the win. Rest in peace, Val. I'm surprised no one's mentioned Top Gun. Be calm, see clearly. I want Moxley to put me through a glass table. Well, you two can run off together. I hope you have lots of happy times. Take him far, far away. Base Beer is Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber, or Grinch? Grinch for me. I didn't see Grinch. So I'll go Dumb and Dumber. Now, if you would have put the mask in there, I would have gone with the mask. You could put the mask in there. You could put Cable Guy in there. Yo-Yo Sup says bad versus boring. Moxley on a pole match. And then he impales himself on the pole, which I'm sure he would enjoy. Silver Tower, curious. Who are your favorite wrestlers from AEW, WWE, TNA, and New Japan? Gabe Kidd really opened my eyes to him a lot with that match he had with Omega back at Wrestle Kingdom, I'll say that. But as far as New Japan, at the moment, as far as like picking a favorite, I don't know. I mean, like TNA, I think the Joe Hendry thing was a lot of fun to follow, you know, and as far as him finally winning the championship, I don't know if I would say I have like a favorite in TNA. Maybe I'd go with him just because I like the story of how he got to where he is. I don't have a favorite in TNA at the moment. In AEW, I enjoy Swerve's work. I enjoy Will Ospreay's work. I think Tony Storm is doing just fucking incredible character work, and Mariah May is great. Harley Cameron, yeah, I've become a real fan of hers in recent months. Hangman Page is great. So I've got a lot of people that I enjoy watching in AEW, And in WWE, you know, Drew McIntyre is another one. Got to have him in there. Io Sky. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different people. A lot of it depends on what they're also doing in the moment. You know, it depends on like how the booking is and like what stories are involved in. I mean, so much can change. I mean, there were people who may have been my favorite 6 months ago and now they're not. You know? And even though McIntyre's kind of been phased down a little bit, he's still my guy. Alex says, how do you think Triple H will book Rusev's return? Can you see him as a main eventer? Or only focus on mid-card titles? Yes, if you didn't hear the news, it is Rusev Day once again in WWE. He signed his contract. He's going to be on his way back. And do I see him as a main eventer? I do not. No. So I think he'll be solidly mid to upper mid-card. Oz and Glorious. Oh, it's Wheeler with the Busaiku knee on Swerve. Oh, you can count on that. It just better not be the finish. Yo-Yo says, if you had a company, rank my favorite women that you would want. Cora Jade, Julia Hart, Alexa Bliss, Billy Starks, Lyra Valkyrie. Well, I would take Alexa Bliss because she would sell a fuck ton of merch for me. Thank you, Alexa. I would take Julia Hart. I think she's done some great character work. I mean, am I just taking some or am I? I'm taking Alexa and Julia, and then I might throw in Billy Starks. Oz and Glorious, hit that like button, people. I don't know, man. Just one of those nights where 331 likes. It's not happening. Silver Tower, we need more orange super chat. We need more super chats, period. I like that. Thank you, Silver Tower, with the $13.99. Look at this guy. Cubs fan. I was at the show tonight. The venue was a dump. This is the same one, but twice. Why? Yeah, you know, I'd be pretty upset if the roof leaked on me and the air conditioner wasn't working. But, I mean, how hot was it there in that city where you were? It was cold today in New York. Fucking cold. I woke up this morning. It was like 40. It's not time for air conditioning yet. Boots, are you checking out Soraya's book? I was concerned it was about me. Thankfully, it's not. Yes, it's called Hell in Boots. And no, I am not planning on checking it out. Jeremy Rose, what do you think about having Swerve turn on Nana shortly after winning the title? I just have a feeling he's not going to be a face for long. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think Swerve and Nana need to be kept together. BCOM C clearly, Cena didn't bury Cody. They buried each other. They did. They were just burying each other left and right on the mic. Silver Tower, Rusev Day is the only day that matters. Hey, Gabe. Very nice. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Joey Jojo Jr., after that ending segment, I think it's possible that Hangman fights off the Death Riders at Dynasty. Would have made sense to do it on this episode, but oh well. No, it makes more sense to do it on the pay-per-view if it's going to ultimately lead to Swerve winning the title. So if that's the plan, I think that's great. Save it for Dynasty. Don't do it tonight. Alex says, why was Owen mad at Brett at Survivor Series 93? And is that how their feud began? Yes, it was. But it was the culmination of Owen always feeling like, you know, he was the little kid, which he was. He was the youngest. But no, what it was in that Survivor Series match where the Hart brothers were all on the same side. Owen was the only one eliminated on his team. Yeah, but he was eliminated because Brett was on the apron. He bumped into Brett. So therefore, Brett was in the way and you cost me the match. And he's all embarrassed because Brett, Bruce, Keith, they all survived. Owen was the only one eliminated. So yeah, that was the spark that lit the fuse for the sibling rivalry that followed in 94. And Ricardo Leon, I am foreseeing a nightmare scenario where Darby is the wild card in the Owen challenging Mox for the title at All In. I hope not. This is actually the month where I think he's supposed to be climbing the mountain. I'm not even sure he's climbed yet. But if he's the wild card in that tournament, then he's probably winning. And if he's winning, that means Moxley's not losing until July. And I can't even stomach the thought of it. I think that would be fucking terrible. Oz and Glorious, what's worse, Death Riders angle, Elite angle, or Danielson bending backwards to legitimize Yuta and Garcia to the point where Tony Khan thinks that they are undroppable? The Death Riders angle. Base Beerus, thank you for 28 months of channel membership. Says Darby is going to coffin drop off of Mount Everest. I just hope he survives. Isaiah, nice to see you solo. Do you think it's booking malpractice that we never got the OG BCC against the House of Black? No, not really. I really don't care either way. I mean, there are things that you could call booking malpractice. That could have been a good idea. I wouldn't call it booking malpractice. I wouldn't go that far. I didn't care that much about it. And we have the Alpha. AEW Dynasty is going to cook, he says. Let Tony cook. He can cook whatever he wants as long as it doesn't taste like shit. Especially if it's going to keep me up until midnight. See, I'm a little harsher on these shows because they are so fucking long. And when they go off the air at 12 o'clock, you give me a finish like what we got at Revolution, I'm going to rip you to shreds. That's how it works. So you better give me something good. You're going to keep me up late, you better give me something good. Justin G, just trying to stall for 40 likes. Silver Tower, please save Darby from himself. He's my favorite AEW wrestler. He's a big boy. He can make his own decisions, no matter how stupid they may be. Bret Hart, you wake up in an alternate reality as a wrestling promoter who needs to put a great pay-per-view on to avoid bankruptcy, and your legs get broken by the mafia. But your EVPs are Bischoff, Hogan, and Russo. What do you do? I skip town. That's what I do. I skip town. I withdraw all the money I have. I get in my car and I just drive. And I don't come back. And then from a payphone somewhere on the side of the road, I call talent and I let them know that, Bischoff and Hogan have stolen all the money. And I call the mafia guys and I tell them the same thing. And I say, those are the guys you want to go talk to. And then I just keep driving. EJ Slemp, no one will mention them, but my two favorite Val Kilmer movies are Tombstone and The Ghost and the Darkness. If you've never seen them, watch them. I've never seen The Ghost and the Darkness. Can't say that I have. BCOM C, clearly, where the fuck is Jack Perry? He just disappeared. Don't care. Oz and Glorious, why is Darby the chosen one for the title? Because he's been He's been one of the originals since day one. He was one of the pillars. Remember the pillars that everybody used to talk about? Then again, so is Sammy Guevara. What the hell happened to him? Jeremy says, you should go to one of the pay-per-view scrums and ask Tony to explain the Death Rider storyline. Why would I go to one of the scrums when I have a review to do here? I have no interest in going to those scrums. I've never attempted to go to those scrums. I have zero interest in going to any of these scrums, WWE or AEW. They don't interest me. I make my money here. I make nothing if I go there. Chris Manson with 47 months. Swerve odds just went up. I think that's why we've been seeing Hangman the past few weeks. He's going to let Swerve win. And Jamie Hayter is likely to win the tournament. AEW might be back. Pretty sure Jamie Hayter's going to win. It's about time we get her heated up again. It's been too long. Base Beer says, Dr. Melfi should have told Tony about her attacker. You know, that's always been one of those questions. You get different opinions on that. I remember watching that episode and thinking the same thing, like, oh, just tell him, just tell him. But I can understand why the decision was made, you know, for her to keep her mouth shut and not say anything. Such a great show. You know, now that you mentioned it, it's probably time for a rewatch. But there's so many shows, like new seasons coming out just on Netflix alone this year. I got to find time for so many different shows. Black Mirror season 7. The only thing with Black Mirror, you never know how many episodes the season's going to, like, it could literally be 2 episodes. We don't know. But there's a 7th season of Black Mirror that's dropping, I think, in a few weeks. So. And BCOM see clearly. Solo, you hurt my feelings. Apologize. No. Says, I don't care either. It's just weird when he spends time building somebody up and then they're gone. What a waste of time. I don't know what happened to Jack Perry. I really don't care. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth because the Elite stuff was also a drag on the show. So the Bucks being gone, Jack Perry being gone, Okada doing his own thing. Even Okada's been gone, let's be honest. I mean, Okada's a champion, but when the fuck do we see him anymore? I can't bring myself to care about Jack Perry and what he's doing and when he's coming back. I don't care. He comes back when he comes back. It's not somebody who was such an important part of the show that I've even noticed, frankly, that he's been missing. You know, when he comes back, hopefully they'll find something interesting for him to do. He was insulting and calling out Kenny Omega, and then Kenny came back, and it's clear they just pivoted in a different direction and dropped whatever they were going to do. But we just haven't seen him. I'm not aware of him being hurt. He hasn't popped up anywhere else, so I don't know what's going on there. But and EJ Slemp says, would you consider Ricky Steamboat a WWE guy or an NWA WCW guy? I would consider him an NWA guy, NWA WCW. So thank you, guys. Good questions here. We will try again on Friday. We got our Friday Night SmackDown post show, including the debut of Rey Fénix. You know, Ricky Starks won his first championship in WWE on NXT last night. And now we have these reports about Miro, you know, Rusev is on his way back. We know Aleister Black is on his way back. And now Rey Fénix makes his debut on Friday. Let's take a guess right now. Who does Rey Fénix wrestle on Friday? Is it Carmelo Hayes? Is it Santos Escobar? Or is it Andrade? Because you know it's going to be one of those three. Well, we'll find out. Anyway, hit that like button on your way out. And hopefully we'll have better luck here with Be the Booker, man. I don't know. We'll try again on Friday night. See how that goes. But be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. And I will see you back here for more Sound Off Live on the YouTube channel. Go check out my Dark Side of the Ring review and all the other content on this channel right now. It is all up there for you. I'll see you guys on Friday.